Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
A Christian finds many things that are difficult in life. One of the main things I believe that we face in the 21st century is how to raise a godly family in the midst of an increasingly decadent society. That is difficult. We associate every day with those who have no respect for spiritual values. We face ridicule as Christians for our stand for decency, a stand that was once more common to all than it is today. Today's families, encouraged by social pressures to adopt the popular views that are held by the masses. If those pressures don't work, society tries the next best thing, and that is to cause those with high ethical ideas to keep to themselves and to make no condemnation of those who violate a high code of behavior. It's sad to see what our society has done to the family. One of society's most obvious crimes is its deplorable treatment of the elderly. "Persons over the age of 30 are not to be trusted," is the cry of some of the young. Those over 30 are possessed with an overwhelming appetite for which will keep them young. Today's advertising downgrades. It makes age look just contemptible, and it promotes youth. Even the church seems to want a 70-year-old head and a 30-year-old body. In 15 and 13, Ponce de Leon began his quest for the Fountain of Youth. He arrived at the area of the St. John's River, which is now Jacksonville, Florida, and he got there in March of that year, and he was determined to find that magic fountain that would reverse the inevitable and restore lost vitality of the youth. Many such myths have come and gone over the years, and it still seems that man cannot accept the fact of growing old. In past generations, it was the elderly who were exalted. In the American colonial era, men such as Benjamin Franklin at the age of 80 years old were honored because of their age and their service. But we find in today's society, we're immersed in a cult of youth. No one would dare admit that he's old. Even those that are 90 are not 90 years old, but 90 years young. We go to ridiculous extremes to stay young. We see 60-year-old men in hip-hugger jeans and cleverly etched T-shirts, the latest style jogging shoes. We see 60-year-old women poured into some gaudy outfit with a ridiculously revealing blouse. Millions of dollars, if not billions, are spent for cosmetics that give you the young look, hair color that restores its original beauty, support garments that get rid of that middle-age spread. But you know what? Age is a fact of life. To try and escape is an exercise in futility. No one really understands it or what causes it. In Aristotle's time, it was thought to be caused by a gradual lowering of the inner body temperature. In the second century, it was Galen's theory that as the body moisture evaporated, man deteriorated. During the Renaissance time, it was an incurable disease. And today, various theories exist, including blood flow restrictions and cellular disruptions and cellular retardations and change in the metabolism. But I tell you, the fact remains, no one really knows why man grows old. My theory is that it's caused by too many birthdays. Modern medicine no longer claims that aging is given as a cause, but viewed as an inherent life process, just as much a natural part of life as birth is, as growth is, as reproduction is, as death is. One thing's for sure, if we're alive, we're growing older. The world's makeup is changing. During the Roman Empire, life expectancy of man was 30 years. In 1880, 3.6% of the population of the United States was over 65. In 1940, the figure had risen to 6%, or 1 in 17. The 1970 census showed that 1 in 10 were over 65. Estimates now have 1 in 5, or 31 million people in our country over the age of 65. Even King David spoke of a statistic of life's expectancy in Psalms 90 and verse 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. But even though we live in an enlightened society, we haven't changed much in the way that we treat our elderly people. Past societies have dealt harshly with the aged, particularly those whose age were infirmed. Today's problems are no different. In the Sandwich Islands, it was a custom that when a parent was old and sick, his children would bury him alive. In India, children leave aged parents on the bank of the Ganges to die. Those examples surely make us cringe, but there's much the same attitude in our country, isn't there? Many of the aged require institutional care, but many that are in convalescent homes are not there because of the care they demand, but because of the inattention of those that are supposed to be caring for them. They're put there to die. Frustrated, discouraged, and neglected, they droop their once proud heads and long for death to remedy the loneliness. Euthanasia, or mercy killing, is another subject in our society that relates to the aged. It seems that man has progressed to the point of having sufficient knowledge to allow him to terminate life for the well-being of the patient or his family. The Bible deals with that. In 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter, verses 1 through 6, King Saul is wounded, and he feels like there's no hope of recovery. He begs his armor-bearer to spare him his misery and the embarrassment, and kill him, to take his life. But his armor-bearer refuses. And in 2 Samuel, the 1st chapter, 1 through 16, we read where an Amalekite passes by and accommodates Saul. The Amalekite said, "I was sure that he could not live after that he had fallen." Well, what was God's response to that act of mercy? Certainly he condemned the Amalekite to death because of it. Final authority. Get it? Final authority on the subject of euthanasia rests with God, not with medical, not with the philosophical, not with the theological professions. But people would stand in revolt if the very thought of mercy killing would put their parents into jeopardy, and put their mom and dad in jeopardy of his life. But the same people that cry out against mercy killing put their moms and dads in some institution and leave them there to die instead of paying attention to them. And just as some illiterate Indian leaves their old and sick parent on the banks of the Ganges, those that are enlightened in our society put them in assisted living quarters in order to absolve themselves of the time and effort that it takes to treat them with the respect that God wants them treated. And that's not to argue that all institutional care is wrong. I'm not saying that. There are circumstances that necessitate such instances, and those are not a part of our focus today. The point is that such care does not end our personal responsibility to the aged, nor does it mean that one is when one has been put into such a care center that a Christian has honored his father and mother by so doing. A person who will deliberately leave a parent in daily tears, waiting at some unfamiliar window to see if anyone will come by that day, is guilty of the crime of disregarding his own, and hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Institutional neglect and euthanasia are not the only areas in which society has done injury to its elderly. In fact, those are only symptoms, I believe, of a much deeper problem, and that is, we have, as a country, lost respect for age. Fortunately, you and I as Christians have the Bible to direct our attitude toward the aged. We are not a people that should be swept away by what's happening in the modern-day society. Before the flood, age was important. The older son was given special respect during both the patriarchal and the Jewish age. There were meetings of older men to decide civil matters. 131 times in the Bible, time and time again, the term elders is used in the Old Testament to describe the body of men that ruled the Hebrew society. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter and verse 16, Moses is told to go up and gather the elders of Israel together. In Exodus, the 18th chapter, Moses takes the advice from Jethro, his father-in-law, in an obvious show of respect for his wisdom and his age. In Exodus, the 24th chapter and verse 1, 70 elders were to accompany Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu in an act of worship to God. In New Testament times, it was no different. Age was a main consideration for leadership. Elders referred to Jewish members of the synagogue who were leaders of the people. The scribes and the Pharisees were experienced, and they were aged men. In Paul's admonition to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2, he advises the young people, the young preacher, to honor both older men and older women, as well as the widows indeed. Some, in New Testament times, were guilty of the same disregard for parents that you and I see today. Their reason was that they had given to the treasury of the temple, and because of that they had nothing left to give to their aged parents. I want you to turn with me and read what the Bible has to say about that situation. In the book of Mark, chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, we see some information that is imperative that you and I understand. Mark the 7th chapter and verse 9 beginning. He was also saying to them, "You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But I say, if a man says to his father and his mother, 'Anything of mine you might have, that you might have been helped by is Korban,' that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." You see, the people that Jesus is condemning there, they were making excuses for not doing for their parents what they were supposed to be doing. They were trying to free themselves from the command to honor their parents. They were trying to absolve themselves of the time that it took to care for their parents and the resources that it took to care for their parents. God charges the elders with the responsibility of superintending the flock or overseeing the church in Acts 14, verse 23, and Titus 1, and verse 5. In the list of the qualifications for an elder, we read statements like, "not a novice," 1 Timothy 3, and verse 6, and "ruling well his own house," 1 Timothy 3, and verse 4, and "apt to teach," 1 Timothy 3, and verse 2. All of those qualifications have something to do with age and experience. Every person that seeks to live as God would have him live, must regard with respect the aged. You and I must learn that to overlook and to ignore the elderly is the same as openly abusing them. We owe the elderly something simply because they're elderly. It's obvious that the aged do not have more knowledge than you simply because of their age. But it does stand to reason that an older person has acquired more wisdom because of the circumstances that he's faced in life. The question is, do we show the proper kind of respect for such wisdom? You and I sometimes hear young people refer to parents as the old man or the old lady. It's a derogatory term in my mind. The Scriptures teach us to respect our parents in Ephesians 6 and verse 2. Our very existence is because of them. In most cases, they've sacrificed. They've trained. And they've loved us. They have loved us even when we are not lovely. They have tended to us even when we were not deserving. They have disciplined us with love, even though that was not the convenient thing to do. When we were rebellious and unkind, they cared for us. When the going was rough, they didn't shrink back from their responsibility. When we failed, they were constant. When we acted without proper concern and respect, they still loved us and taught us. How is it that we can forget those things? Can we cast all aside and neglect them and their influence upon our life? Let us honor them. Let us respect them. Let us regard them as special. Let us not be as one described in Proverbs the 30th chapter and Romans the 1st chapter, verse 30 and 31. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Disrespectful to parents and unloving is symptomatic of a depraved mind. Romans 1 verse 30 and 31. The Bible teaches respect for older men. We need to take time to listen to them. The profit will be ours. Their advice has been polished by the abrasiveness of time. Their concern is most of the time the right concern, because they're looking back to see what was really important, not ahead to see what might be. Their sense of direction is sharpened with experience. Listen to their tales. There's a moral most of the time to be learned. Even their little remarks may contain great gems of wisdom. I remember with fondness taking a friend of mine by the name of J. Hugh Ritchie with me to a gospel meeting when I was working in Indiana. Brother Ritchie was so full of memories of the church during the past 70 and 80 years. And I have prayed my thanksgiving to God many times for allowing him to, for allowing Brother Ritchie to be with me and to speak so eloquently of things that were important. And the time just flew by as we drove from Indianapolis to that little town in Olytic. The time just flew by as I listened to Brother Ritchie, and the things that he have said had changed my life. They have allowed me to avoid some of the pitfalls that he warned about. Older women also have much to offer. That's stated in Titus the 2nd chapter, verse 3 and verse 4. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Titus. In Titus, the 2nd chapter, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. You younger women that are listening to this program, you need to realize what you have in knowing godly older women. Can you see the advantage of such a vast storehouse of knowledge, of experience and patience and judgment? What young mother has not experienced anxiety because of some set of circumstances with which she's not familiar? Ask an older lady. She'll give you an answer that'll help you. She'll give you some thoughts to ponder that will help you to make good decisions. If you want to see the human dignity at its highest, observe a godly, aged woman. She is a crowning jewel of God's creation. She is loving but candid. She is honest but wise. She is harmless but interested. There is in the church today a great untapped resource available to us if we'll but see it. We look at youth and we see the church of tomorrow. But what of tomorrow? Do we have assurance that there'll be a tomorrow? We have today and can help tomorrow by using today to find out what will happen from those things of yesteryear. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9 and 10. Let you and I hear the elderly. Let us keep them near and revere their wisdom. As we sit in the midst of those who are older, we sit in the midst of a gold mine. We need to occupy our time in quest for their wisdom instead of spending an inordinate amount of our energies and time on lesser treasures. Sure, profit accrues to those who will regard the elderly. Galatians 6 and verse 7 tells us that we reap what we sow. But what about the responsibility of the aged? There's a tendency with some to withdraw from society, and oftentimes that happens about retirement time. Many go into the shell of self-pity. Those that are aged must remember that they have a spiritual and a moral responsibility as long as they can function. What can be done? The aged can admit that they're old. We thank God for our very existence, Acts 17 and verse 28. And the longer we exist, the more blessed God has made us. The aged must not quit. Note Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Our hands will become palsied. Our legs will become ineffective. Our teeth will wear out. Our eyes will be dimmed. Our digestion will be impaired. Our voice changes tone. We will not sleep well. We will be afraid of the heights, and smallest burdens seem to be heavy to bear. That passage, though, says nothing about quitting, does it? Deterioration with age, certainly. Problems with age, definitely. But quitting? Not for a Christian. That's not God's plan. There are several things that'll help the age to a richer, fuller, and more productive life. Try to be a part. Maintain your social relationships. Live with your old age. You lived with youth. Why not live with your age as being old? Accept the challenge. There's work to do. Offer yourself. Many want it, but are afraid to ask you. Command respect. Carry yourself well, as your health will allow. Stand up for your age. Teach somebody something. Leave a legacy of knowledge. Make friends with the young. Have friends, you've got to be one. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Pass it on. Choose someone to pass the torch to of that invaluable knowledge you have because of experience. Get out of yourself. Leave some time for others. There's no selfishness in Christianity. Continue to put God first in your life. The aged are probably closer to death, and that has its advantages, doesn't it? It motivates us to preparation. Use it wisely. Be thankful for it. Well, thank you so much for listening today. I pray that this week you'll have opportunity, unusual opportunity, in fact, to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Come and visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Bring your Bible. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.